Lord, we're just so thankful this morning that we have this opportunity to praise you and to worship you. Lord, and I just pray for every single person in this room, Lord, that we could walk away challenged and walk away with such a genuine encounter of who you are. Lord, whatever season we're going through, whatever situation we may be in, Lord, I just pray that you work in our hearts this morning. Lord, that we would be so open to what you have for us. Perfect. Well, good morning. You can take your seats. Welcome to CIT. My name is Matt, and I'm going to be your host this morning. I'm so glad to see all of you here with us. So this morning, I want to start off by saying God loves you and God cares for you. And we would just hope this morning, as you're here at CIT, that this is a place that could be so warm and so inviting. And this is a place that you could call home. I want to start off by talking a little bit about community. It's one of the key pillars for us here at CIT and our new series, Uncommon Community. So what we're launching next week is something brand new, and it's called GroupLink. And what it is it's an opportunity for each and every one of you to meet the amazing community group leaders that we have here at CIT. We know how daunting it is to find a community group that you want to go to. It can be a little scary. And we thought the best way to do this was to actually have them here on a Sunday morning. So next week after service, they're actually going to be stationed outside in the cafe area. And it's an awesome opportunity for you to meet them, to talk to them, to kind of get a feeling for what their community group looks like. And we hope that this will help you make a decision to attend one of these. I know for myself, the one that I go to on Wednesday nights, I can't imagine what life would be like without it. It's such an amazing group of people that I can pray with, that I can dive into the Word with, and just to connect with on a week-by-week basis. So if that's something that you would love to find, we have GroupLink next Sunday. As well, if you want to look at a listing of our community groups, we have it available on myCIT.info. So if you go there in your mobile browser, you can see all of the different community groups we offer throughout the week. Next, we also have baby dedications coming up next Sunday. Woo! So what baby dedications is a wonderful moment in which parents make a public statement of faith to raise their child under God's grace and wisdom. And it's an amazing opportunity for us to stand behind these parents to say, we will support them as a church in raising their child. And that's going to happen from 11 a.m. to 11:25 a.m. So next week, if you want to come half an hour early, we're going to be in this main room. We're going to have parents up with their kids, and we would love for you to attend. Lastly, can we just give a round of applause for all of our volunteers? Awesome. I think we can never appreciate and thank our volunteers enough. Almost everything you see here on a Sunday morning is brought to you by a volunteer. Our worship team are volunteers. I'm a volunteer. Our cafe team are volunteers. And I just want to make sure that we are appreciating them. Later on when we have our cafe outside, make sure if you see a volunteer, you give them a high five or you thank them, because they do such an amazing job every single week. And if you're interested in serving on a team or volunteering, we can go to myCIT.info once again. So for those of you, if you haven't seen a trend now, we're going to be saying myCIT.info a lot. So make sure you bookmark that on your devices, but we have a form out there, so please fill it out if you're interested in volunteering. With that being said, we're so excited to start our new series, Uncommon Community. This is going to be a quick test. We have our message outline. It's on a website. Do you guys know what it's called? MyCIT.info. Perfect. So you can follow along there. Thank you. So now, Nigel, you want to come up? Let's start our new series.
Thank you. Okay. How about you turn to somebody around you and wish them happy Thanksgiving? There you go. All right. That wasn't too difficult, right? Okay. So, you know, I know some people are away today because it's Thanksgiving, long weekend, so some went to their families, right? We'll hopefully see them again next week. This is the first week to launch this new mini-series. We're still in Acts, so we had a mini-series, Navigating Change, for September. We're making a seamless transition to still in Acts, chapter 2 and going forward, and it's called Uncommon Community. Right? There's community. Everybody talks about community. You're in this neighborhood, community, etc. But in the Bible, there is uncommon community. The people who responded to the gospel, this is in Acts, the Spirit was poured out, Jesus had been resurrected, the Spirit came, there was a message preached, and people responded. They were told to repent and be baptized, be forgiven, receive the Holy Spirit, and they responded, and they became believers, disciples. Later they'd be called Christians. More than that, they became a community. And that's what we read in this chapter. So conversion resulted in community, Christian community, which is uncommon community. So I'm going to ask, Felix is our reader today. We thank him for staying longer. He's getting this two times over, but he's going to read for us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Nigel, that you're also still here. So my name's Felix. And 5 years ago, I came with my family, and we were a party of three. So now this is how our family is looking right now. It grew, and there's my wife, Sylvie, and there's also Roiland and Jenny, and they're like three beautiful children. And together, as the adults of this picture, we're leading a community group, and we're meeting every Friday. And actually, our family is bigger than that, just this. It extends towards our whole community group, and it extends actually to the whole church. Because we came here, and we didn't know anybody. But we found this, on the website. When you enter, you need a church, and you need it in Toronto. So you type in church in Toronto. You know what you find? You find church in Toronto. And so we ended up here, and we never left because it was just so welcoming and so nice. And now we're having this community group, and we're having each other's backs. We pray for each other. We sing songs. And everybody's so nice. They don't even complain when I'm playing guitar. And we see prayer being answered, and this is just a great thing that changes my life. And I hope that all of you can experience something like this. So find a small group, find a community group. It can be ours, by the way. We are meeting on Friday at 8, but it can be also somebody else's groups. Okay, so now I'm going to read, and it's from Acts 2. People asked, "What should we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." With many words he testified and strongly urged them, saying, "Be saved from this corrupt generation." So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They began selling their possessions and property, and distributing these things to all to the degree that anyone had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, this is how the Christian community began, We read about it in Acts. The word church actually was not a new word. We call it church. Eventually it was called church in Jerusalem. The word church was carried over from the Old Testament. The congregation, ecclesia, in Greek became the church. However, it was new. Same word. The church in the wilderness, church in the Old Testament, church in the New Testament. But it was new. What was new? This was something produced out of the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit had come to these people and changed their life, right? We read. They heard Peter's message about Jesus, that he had died, that God had raised him from the dead, and that God offered forgiveness of sins. So, right? He told them, repent, change your mind, change your view, be baptized. And this issued from, of course, they were responding. The question, what should we do, comes out of something. There was some believing, some faith generated in them about what God had done in Jesus Christ. So that's why they're asking the question. There was faith. And Peter said, okay, repent, change your view, and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. You'll be forgiven. God's offering forgiveness. And you will receive a gift. What is that? That gift is the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Spirit there is not something related to the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit as a gift. Right? So when we respond to Jesus, death, resurrection, we, in faith, we receive the Holy Spirit into us. The Spirit begins to witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We're in God's family. That's new community. What is the basis? It's not a club you decide to join. It's based on the fact that you've responded to God, to the gospel, and you've received the Holy Spirit, and you have become a child of God. Right? People say, born again. Right? You're a child of God. As such, you've entered a new family. So in your human family, you may be an only child. You may be one of a few. Right? But when you receive Jesus Christ, you enter the family of God. You become a child of God, a son and daughter, a brother and sister to many others. But what is that? God's family. So, these people in that day, right, it tells us 3,000 people responded. That's a lot of people, right? That's a significant percentage of the city at that time. The city of Jerusalem had a certain population. 3,000 was a significant population. And I don't know how they baptized 3,000 people, right? I know there's pools, bigger pools just outside Jerusalem. So I guess they baptized them. And this was not a private thing, right? If you baptized 3,000 people, right? That's going to be public, visible, so people got to know something's going on, right? And it's affecting a significant group of people. They have responded to the message, and something's happened in their inner being, and they're responding differently, and they're together, and they had a different kind of community life. Right? Not because somebody, there was a rule regulation, because that was a spontaneous response to what God had done in their life. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you responded to Jesus Christ, you are a child of God, you have that life, and you are a member of God's family, and that life in you, that's the Holy Spirit in you, is a spirit that wants to have community, that generates community, right? So, there's a desire in us as believers to be together, right? And you can subdue that, or better is to go along with it, right? That life you have. I was born and raised in England, UK. When I was in my early 20s, I moved from England. The first time I left England, I went directly to Chicago and began graduate studies. I studied. I was a Christian already, and I went sometimes when I could to church and Sunday. However, and that was fairly distant where I went. However, I felt like after a year, my Christian life was not doing that well. Was I a believer? Yes. Was I a Christian? Yes. Was my Christian life flourishing? No. Was it surviving? Yes. Just about. So I had a month vacation in between terms. So I prayed to God as I was going to take a trip. So I prayed to God before I left, God, please do something in my life. I don't want to continue on this kind of path spiritually. And then there was a great deal for students. And I was a student. You could buy a ticket on the Greyhound bus for $99. Think about this deal. $99 as a student, you could travel anywhere in North America for 3 weeks. For 3 weeks. That's a good deal. It was a good deal then. It sounds even better today. But it was a good deal then. I qualified, so I bought a ticket for my $99. And I travel from Chicago to Colorado through up through to Winnipeg to Calgary to Vancouver to Victoria to Seattle, San Francisco, LA, and I was going to do a whole circuit on the one ticket. And you can sleep on the bus. See, it's cheap. It's rough, but it's cheap. Okay, well, on my way, I got as far as Seattle, going down San Francisco, down the coast, Highway 1, Pacific Coast. It's very scenic. On the way, a young man came to sit next to me. He said, there's a lot of smoke back there. Back then, people used to smoke at the back of the bus, right? So he said, it's smoke. Can I sit here? I said, sure. We got talking. Then he said, are you a Christian? I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. He said, hallelujah! I said, thank you. I didn't know how you're supposed to respond. He was excited to meet a Christian. And he talked, so he's excited to meet a Christian. He got off the bus in Oregon on the coast. I was going with the bus to San Francisco. He told me, okay, when I'm in San Francisco, this is where I go. I meet with these Christians. Church in San Francisco. Sound familiar? This is church in Toronto. So there's was a kind of loose connection. Same. Okay, so I arrived there Saturday night. Sunday morning, I went, found that address. I went to that place because I'm a Christian. I walked in. There's maybe 50 people, quite a few young people. They're singing songs. There's a message. And then they have a coffee time, somewhat like this. And I was chatting to people, where are you from? Da, da, da. Okay, and I said, I'm from Chicago, I'm traveling. But they said, you know, some young guy said, you want to stay with us? I said, sure. I mean, I was staying in a hotel. So they did, right? They just met me a short time. They said, do you want to stay with us? Sure. So I stayed with them. Four young guys had an apartment. Right? And I hung out with them. They went to the college campus, San Francisco City College. They said, we're going to go down there at lunchtime. We're going to sing some songs about Jesus. So I went with them. They said, we're going to go this place to eat with these folks, and we're going to meet with these, right? So I hung out with them for 4 days. Then I continued on my trip. What stayed with me is, here's a group of people, Jesus is real to them, their Christian life is real, it's not just a Sunday thing, it is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, etc. It's a community where Jesus is real to them in their life, in the way they interact with it. That's community, right? And when I went back to Chicago to study, eventually I felt I have a choice. I can stay down by this, live very close to the campus. That's good for studies. Or I could move. Eventually, I moved across town. Why? There was a Christian community there. And I moved to a house. There's an older couple who had, they had 11 young guys stay in their house. When I joined, it was 12 apostles. So I moved in. And I lived in that. That was a Christian community, right? They were together, living together. People went to jobs. I went to school. right? But we shared a community and we shared life together and we helped one another, encouraged one another. Okay, Christian community. It really helps our life, Christian life, to flourish, to grow, to right, and we experience the Lord. Okay, you know, that's my story, and it's not exactly, obviously not exactly the same, but somewhat it corresponds to what happened here, right? So let's just look at this passage and make some points. Firstly, what is not described? Secondly, what is described? Okay, so what is not here? Number one, what we read about that community, it is not communism. It is not a commune, right? Some people read these accounts and they pick up what's one striking thing is that it says they shared all things in common and nobody said that anything belonged to him, and people sold property and possessions and took care of the need as any had need. Some people read it and they say, I got it. That's communism. Collective ownership, no private property. Everybody turns everything over. They share everything. That's communism. No, look more carefully and read the following chapters. This is not, it's not the end of private property. People still had possessions and still had, some still had houses, some still had lands, etc. And of course, there was a significant number who didn't have lands or houses, but they were together. So what was going on was there was this kind of feeling that in the community there were those who had need, and some people felt had a surplus, and they felt to take care of that need, right? So some people sold off land or whatever to take care of that need. So it's not communism. Secondly, what we read, the account we read, is not prescriptive. It is descriptive. Right? What does that mean? Prescriptive is telling you what you and I must do, should do. Descriptive is describing what some people did. Right? That's the difference. Acts, in the most part, is descriptive, and the part we read about the community. It's the writer Luke is recounting what did they do? He's trying to describe this community, how they interacted with one another, how they behaved, and what they did. It's historical, recounting what they did in Jerusalem in the first century at the start of the church. It is not, taken as a whole, it is not prescriptive. It is not telling you and I what we must do. It's describing what they did. So we don't take it one for one, right? Chapter 1 says, how did they pick a replacement for Judas? Answer, they drew lots. They drew names out of a hat. Okay? Yes, that's the way they did it. There's no implication there and saying that's the way we should select people. It's a history telling us what they did, not implying what we should, that's the way we should do it, right? It's descriptive. So what we read, for instance, they met in the temple. Well, that was there. That was then. We don't have a temple to meet in, right? So that's what they did. Some things in the New Testament, a lot of the, yes, there are prescriptions, there are things we're told to do. And in fact, part of the message of Peter's message is prescriptive. He told people what to do, right? You have a feeling toward Jesus Christ and you want to respond to what God has done in Christ. Then number one, repent. Repent. Change your view. You had a wrong view of who he was. You wrote him off, discounted him. Change your view. Repent and be baptized. Baptism there is a charge. What should you do? Answer, repent. Number two, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. So they were baptized. Those are prescriptive. They're telling people what to do. for forgiveness of sins, right? So even this morning, if you're considering Jesus Christ, you want to begin a Christian life, what's the way, right? Change your view from whatever it was to the view of Jesus Christ, and be baptized, right? Everyone. Those are prescriptive things, right, which we should do. The Bible tells us as Christians we should meet. That's prescriptive. We should remember the Lord, have the breaking of bread. There are some prescriptive things. However, taken as a whole, a lot of this is descriptive, right? So, you know, we don't try to reproduce it today. That was then, first century. This is now, 21st century. That was Jerusalem. This is Toronto, right? Things are different, so you can't reproduce what they have. But descriptive, that doesn't mean it doesn't have value. We can look at what they did and be inspired, not to do exactly the way they did it, but to wow, this is what they did, and maybe that's, you know, the Lord touches you and I to do that. Okay, so it's descriptive. It can inspire us to along those kind of lines. Okay, let me cover what it's not. It's not communism. It's not prescriptive. We're not trying to reproduce that. We're not trying to get back to what the early church had. We're trying to be the church today, 21st century Toronto, and have a community that expresses Jesus Christ. Okay, there are ways that we can be inspired and the ways we can follow. And it's good to kind of take a, you know, go up to a bird's eye view, 10,000 meters, 30,000 feet, and look at it from that level. Let me give you 5 points about this, what we can pick up. 5 points about the church, what it was. Number one, it was a learning church. Number two, it was a loving church. Number three, it was a hospitable church. Number four, it was a worshiping church. Number five, it was an evangelistic church, right? That's what it was. And that those are things we can be inspired by. Number one, it was a learning church. Right? These are people who just come to a new realization about Jesus, right? And that had changed their life, and they'd entered this new community, which was the community of Jesus, right? He's the Savior. He's the start of this whole thing. And, right, they had an appetite to know, okay, what did Jesus do? Who was he? What did Jesus do? What did Jesus teach? How did he want us to live our life, right? What is his pattern? What is his example? They had that kind of appetite to learn, and the right? You have the apostles there, Peter, James, John, Matthew, etc., Thomas, who had been with Jesus and who could tell them, right? They had been with Jesus. They saw Jesus help people, heal people. They saw Jesus' miracles. They heard Jesus' teaching. They had heard his parables, right? And saw what he did, the way he answered people's questions. And they could convey that to these new people, right? So they had the personal, direct, verbal, face-to-face teaching from the apostles. I don't know how they arranged that. If there's 12 apostles and you got 3,000, it's about what ratio of 1 to 250, right? Maybe they had classes. I don't know. But anyway, you have the teaching of the apostles verbally conveying. So Matthew could tell them, okay, I was, you know, give his story. I was a tax collector, Matthew, was sitting there, you know, I was doing okay. Things were going well. I'm making money, but I was kind of despised, you know. But anyway, Jesus came and called me to follow him. And I dropped that all that stuff, and I began to follow Jesus, and I heard his teaching, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the, right? I heard those things, his teaching, And I saw his miracles, heard his parables. I saw what happened to Jesus, that he could convey that to these people. And so could Peter, etc., John, right, and the others. We don't have that. What we do have, though, we don't have Matthew. We have the Gospel of Matthew, right? We don't have Peter. We have the Gospel of Mark, which most people consider originated from Peter's, you know, verbal recounting. We don't have John. We have the Gospel of John. We don't have the other apostles, but we have the Gospel of Luke. So the apostles' teaching eventually became part of the New Testament, and you add into that Paul, which, right? Paul, the other, okay, the apostles' teaching comes to us in the terms of the New Testament, right? They learned, we can learn. It's a little bit different, but, right? We're in that vein of receiving the word. Number two, it was a loving church, right? Right, they cared for one another, and right, it uses the word together. They're with one another. They are together. They're doing life together. They go to the temple together. Come home together. Pray together. Eat together. Right, care for one another together. There's that kind of care, concern. There's pray together. Listen together. Help one another together. That is, you can call that fellowship, right? You can also call that the care in the church, right? We can be inspired by that, right? We don't have to do things exactly the way they did it, but we can be inspired by that. I hope this can be a loving, you know, no doubt that was also a welcoming church. Right? People wanted to join and they were able to join. That's a welcoming church. I hope we at CIT, we could be a loving church, a caring church, a welcoming church. Amen. Right? In attitude and in action. Right? And they took care of the needs. You know, and sometimes the Lord gives us resources that we can help others. My wife decided we should have more physical exercise. That was her decision. And she recruited me. We were going out the other morning, this is like 10 days ago, into the woods right by our house. And there's a billfold there, a wallet on the ground. We picked it up and opened it. There's no cash. There's credit cards, MasterCard, Visa, some other cards. There's a driver's license and the name, address, etc. The address, it was on, address was Bridal Path. You know Bridal Path?
Yeah.
That's where the poor people live. I use that ironically. Right? Like Drake, people like that. Okay, there's driver's license name, and there's a receipt for dry cleaning, right? And it has same name and has a phone number. Okay, so we went home, we called the number, left a message. We found this, okay, an hour later, there's a call back. He said, I'm so-and-so. I said, we found your billfold. I don't know how it got here. He said, I never go over there. Okay. So I found it. You want to pick it up? Yeah, he said, I'll send my courier. I said, okay. And I want to give you a reward. I said, oh, forget the reward. Let's just get the billfold. Okay, an hour later, my doorbell rings. It's not a courier, it's the person. A nice gentleman. He says, oh, thank you. I don't know how it happened. Okay. He said, I want to give you a reward. No, you must receive this. So he gave me $200. That's pretty good. I mean, for 5 minutes, right? So I felt, Lord, what's going on? Maybe you want to do something, right? That's why do you give me $200, right, for so little work? Effort, right? what should I, you know, that I just consider, okay, Lord, you know, there's probably some who need have more need than me, right? Maybe we can pass it along and, you know, help. So we considered, and yeah, there's some, so we're able to pass it on to others, right? That's great. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't need $200 more. I don't need $200, you know, $200 less is, right? So my point is what? Sometimes the Lord gives us resources. You know, sometimes you get a windfall. Sometimes you get a tax refund. Sometimes you get a break, discount, whatever, repayment, reimbursement. Maybe, you know, the Lord gives some resources to you and I, and it's not just for you and I to employ. It maybe is coming to you so that you and I can use it in this community or outside this community to help others. This is the church. This is the community. You know, can we have more? Can we do this more? Have more care, more concern. This is worshiping. This is hospitable. This is a worshiping community. They came together to worship. We're going to do that. They came together and break bread. I'm out of time, which is fine. You know, they met together and they had the teaching, they had the fellowship, they had the breaking of bread. And in this context can mean two things. Number one, they broke bread as in the Lord's Supper. Number two, they had meals house to house. Breaking bread has both can mean either one or both. We're going to have Lord's table. Let's do what they did, right? And that is something the Lord asked us to do, and we can, right? I don't know, probably we're doing it in a different way, but we're doing it to remember the Lord. So if we ask the musicians to come up, we're going to break bread. They broke bread to remember the Lord. Jesus, right, on the night before he's crucified, so what we're talking about would have only been less than 2 months later, very recent for them, right? Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. This is the Last Supper. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And the next day he's crucified. And he said, "This is my blood." Took the cup with, right, wine, grape juice, and said, "This is my blood, which is going to be poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Now do this to remember me. As often as you do it, you show my death until I come." So Jesus asked us to do it. We're going to do that this morning. Let me just pray. You know, if you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus, if you feel like you'd like to participate, we welcome you. If you're not quite ready, you're still in the stage of investigating, you can let it pass by and we're not offended. I'm just going to pray and thank the Lord, and then we can each individually thank the Lord in our hearts as we partake. Lord, we thank you. Lord, thank you for your death, for your resurrection, for sending the Holy Spirit to enable us to be new, be your children, be a part of your new creation. Lord, I'm part of this new community. Lord, you said, "Do this to remember you." Lord, we thank you. You gave your body. You shed your blood. We could be forgiven. We could be accepted. And we could know you as our Savior and Lord. And we thank you this morning. We do remember you. And we do give you thanks. And we do give you our praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.